price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a future fade.
Everybody, what's going on? What do you know? Look who's back. Look who's alive. Look who's still here. Let me tell you what, I am still here, and I apologize for the delay, and we're going to get all into that soon enough, I swear. Hope you're doing well. Hope the world is finding you well. Hope 2017 ended on a high note for you, as much as it did for me. I wish you guys all the best. Happy New Year. Happy belated holidays to you. I hope you had a great one. I had a fantastic Christmas with my family. New Year's was great. I worked, but it was still awesome. Had to take a little hiatus here from the program. I just had too much stuff on the plate. So we are coming back large and in charge. And I don't mean as like a fat joke either. I know you're thinking when I said that, you're like, wow, dude, right away, you're just getting back into it. Starting with fat jokes. No. I'm just getting back into it, man. I tell you what, we are looking to take this show to the next level. There's whole bunches of fun things happening. It's going to be awesome, man. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, I had to take a little hiatus, man. You know what it was? I just had too much going on, too much on the plate. And out of all the things, that I had to start slowly taking things off the plate one at a time. And as that happened, this show happened to fall in that category. There was just no time in the day. Not enough time, not enough hours. And so we had to take some things off. I figured I'd take a little hiatus, knowing full well that I'd come back strong here in the new year. We are back. We are back on Monday night, except for a special that we're going to have here at the end of January. I'll tell you all about that here very soon as well. But yeah, we're back and strong, man. I'm telling you, listen, I know it seems like a long time, and I've missed you. I have. I've missed you. I've missed all of you, every single last one of you. And I know that the problem is when you do these shows and you build such a giant following and it does well, and I tell you what, thanks to all you guys for the messages and for the questions if we are coming back and when we're coming back. And I said, we are, it's just going to take a little time, but the support, it's just great, man. It really is. It's almost overwhelming. I really do. I feel very humbled to have that. And out of all the things that I do, this one definitely ranks up there as one of my favorites. I love coming on here on Monday nights and just talking to cool people and connecting and venting, you know, just venting. Like honestly, like if I see one more person on Instagram post that picture where they say, today is day one of a 365-page book, or come on, stop it. Do you think we haven't seen that yet? Everybody's posting that. Enough. Come up with something different. Something different. Maybe like a Encyclopedia Britannica reference. Or, no, let's just not reference it. Let's just say, hey, have a great year. Happy New Year. Listen, it's all about the positivity. And I swear, that's not just lip service. I mean that this year. Like, I have a... trying to be turning a new leaf with that as it is anyway, but hopefully this year it's not only going to be something I say, it's going to be something I live. So yeah, apologize for the break. We are back. We are going to be back for a while here. We got some great guests coming up. We've got Chef Tony Reese from Spiceology is going to join us this month. We've also got Jamie Cyrus going to join us too. She is from Iron Chef, the brand new Iron Chef series on Food Network, and she's going to be on here with us too. And then not only that, we have a giant show live. It's going to be on a Friday night. I know we're going to do it as we download it and whatnot. Friday night live from one of the biggest and most fun food and wine festivals that happens here in Connecticut. And I guess in the whole tri-state area. It's called the Mohegan Sun Wine and Food Festival, which your boy here is a part of that this year. And they are actually a sponsor for our TV series, The Restaurant Road Trip. And they are also have asked me to come and do the show live from the casino on Friday night, which is a giant event. I tell you what, they got Martha Stewart, Snoop Dogg, you name it, they're going to be there. It's just awesome. I mean, there's so many great food festivals and so many great events that happen. And I always say that to me, festival season kicks off here with the New York Hot Sauce Festival, which is just such a great event. But I'm looking forward to that as well. But maybe it's in the change, and finally, after years of trying to get their attention, I was asked to be part of the Mohegan Sun Wine and Food Festival. Looking forward to that. Our buddy Dave is going to come down and help me with that event too. I'm going to be cooking for about 600 people. We're going to do a bad-ass pork dish. More on that as we get closer to it. And hopefully that event, I think they're going to give me whatever guests I want that are at the casino at the time. If Snoop Dogg is there, you guys, when we do this show, there's a chance he might not be there till Sunday. If he's there on Friday and they let me have him, even for 10 minutes, are you kidding me? You know how awesome that would be? It'd be awesome. I'm going to text him. I have to ask him and see if that's okay. I don't really have his number. I just want to see what it felt like to say that. That's all. I'm going to text Snoop Dogg and see if he wants to join me on the show. Well, I don't know if I can actually do that or not, but we're going to text him and find out. That's the plan, right? It sounds good to say? I don't know. A minute ago, I mentioned the old Food Network, and a lot of people out there know that part of my hiatus was in part due to some of the things that had happening with potential things. And one of those potential things was I did shoot a show for the Food Network, which was fun. It was awesome. It had a lot. I mean, it was called what did we call that show? It was called I don't remember at this point. I mean, it'll come to me in a second. What do we call this shit? Uncool Foods. It was about food across the country that like meatloaf. That's not cool, but people who are making it cool. Anyway, we shot that. It came out awesome. There's a lot of different things when it comes to these networks when you do these shows. And there's people who pitch projects, and then there's projects that are commissioned projects, which means the network, it's their concept, their idea. They go to another production company, because Food Network doesn't produce any of their own content in-house. It's all done by outside production companies. So Food Network has the idea to do this program, the show. They go to a reputable company that they've worked with for a very long time. I'm not going to give any names up. I think that's rude. I haven't asked them if I say that, but whatever. So they went and commissioned this company. And actually, the fun part about this whole scenario, for me at least, is they commissioned this company and told them to come get me, which was, I mean, dude, that's awesome. Like, what else do you mean, right? Like, they were coming to get me. So, I don't know. They asked for me to host this program, which is awesome. So, we shot it. A lot of things happened. We shot it, and they just, you know, the timing takes forever with these people. So they shot the show. We shot the show. It was awesome. We finally got word back from them that they aren't taking any more new content right now because of so many of these new programs they've done have not done well. Even commissioned content. Now, I don't know what they paid for it. My guess was somewhere in the neighborhood of $20,000 to $25,000 to have this sizzle thing shot that we did. I mean, it was a day of shooting. It was fun. But you know, they commissioned, so they paid to have it done. So they have other commissioned projects. They're not taking any more projects right now. And ironically, it goes hand in hand with, I haven't seen any kind of castings for Food Network stars yet either. Usually that happens in, you know, late in the year, early winter, you know, November. You start seeing them in October, November, and then anyway, haven't seen any of that stuff. And I was wondering what the story was behind it, because usually you see it everywhere. You get the emails about it. These companies contact you. Haven't seen anything. I think that's the reason why. I think the old network, and this is, I don't have any other basis for this in my own opinion. I think that because some of the new projects they have done have not done so well, they are actually kind of revamping everything. I think they're changing the way things are done there. I think they are, you know, maybe hoping to get back to actually cooking food. Because listen, as much as I enjoy watching Vanilla Ice, Vern Troyer, and one of the girls from Facts of Life in a cooking competition, to me, as a chef, that's not really something I care to watch, you know, on television on a regular basis. It's just not my thing. So I think they're trying to get back to actually doing food, which we will see what happens. But it was fun to do. I was enjoyed being part of it. It was quite humbling to have the opportunity to have them actually ask for me, which made me feel great. It's not a total wash. I did get some great contacts. And not only that, they want to hear about another project. So that's great news, man. So listen, we'll see. But more importantly, I got to be honest with you, man. I was almost not sure what I wanted to do, because our restaurant road trip, if you haven't seen it yet, check it out, Restaurant Road Trip on Facebook, which airs here locally in Connecticut. is doing incredibly well. I mean, like, really well. And I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to have a meeting and have plans. Big shout out to my man, Dan Fish, if he's listening. We're going to have to talk about it and figure out what our next move is going to be, because I think it's got some legs. It's got some legs, or it's got some floaties. I don't know. So it's got one of those two things. But yeah, so it's doing great, man. So I'm looking forward to seeing what it holds. I'm looking forward to the new year. I'm looking forward to getting back on the saddle with this very program right here on Monday nights. Big shout out to those of you guys who are back joining us. Our man Dave, of course, my good friend, my brother from another mother, the one, the only, Mr. Adam Medini. He is hanging out on the coast of the left, west coast, out in California, doing his thing. Big shout out to him. Happy we reconnected, brother. Love you. Listen, it's going to be a great show tonight. And I tell you what, one of the people, one of the fun things about doing this restaurant road trip program is I get to meet so many cool people. And our chef world is it's a small world, man. Honestly, you know people who know people who we're all connected. I mean, honestly, we're all connected. We all just know each other. We're all some, you know, 6 degrees of separation, the whole Kevin Bacon game. Tonight's guest, Chef Tyler Anderson, we just know a lot of the same people, man. And we follow each other on social media. We'd never met in person. I actually had gone and we did a restaurant road trip at one of his restaurants, which was a lot of fun. Cook and the Bear, great place. We went and did a episode of the show there. We met, we talked, we kind of became buddies, man. He helped me out with another event and in the Connecticut Chef's Challenge as a judge this past year. And then we also were judging a big event that happens out here called 86. It's a 15-week culinary competition, two chefs, 16 chefs, 15 weeks, something like that. Everybody competes against each other, Iron Chef style, giant group of people. It's like a big party. It's really fun. I judged the semifinal round, and of course, the finals, I was a judge as well. And Tyler joined me for that. He was one of the final judges in that. So we kind of talked, and we've become buddies. And not only that, I'm saying all this stuff, but he's on Top Chef this season. You know, I won't give away any spoilers, but he's doing well. How about that? He represented very, very well. So I'm not going to give away anything else than that. But you know, he's a great guy, a four-time James Beard nominee for Best Chef in the Northeast, which is awesome. I mean, that's just – the guy's legit, man. So hopefully we'll have him on here soon. Should be a lot of fun. Again, I've missed the program. I've enjoyed – the off time, but more importantly, I'm happy to be back here live on the show. We are back running in full steam ahead. So again, with that Food Network stuff, it's one of those things where it's out of your control, but you make the best of the situation, and that's exactly what I'm doing. And what else can you do, man? What are you gonna get upset about the whole time? I can't do that, dude. You just gotta keep moving forward. That's all you can do. Meanwhile, back in the Hall of Justice, I'm gonna get my ducks in a row. I'm going to pour myself a beverage, and we're going to get right back here hanging out with my buddy Chef Tyler Anderson. Looking forward to checking in with him and seeing what's going on. And of course, we got to talk a little Top Chef, don't we? Wow, sparks are flying. Listen, you're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us, you guys. Stay right there. We're going to play a quick tune. We'll be right back. Stay there, guys.
Spend your days counting the hours you're awake, and with night covers
My favorite song is Injection. What a great freaking tune that is, man. So happy again to be back here, guys. Thanks for joining us here tonight. Back on the regular Monday nights, everybody. That's going to be the plan here. Monday nights, because, hey, that's when most people have off of work, right? That's what we're talking about. How about some buttery beats? That's what I'm going to play. Buttery beats. Yeah. I'm feeling sexy. Are you? That was weird. That was weird for me and for everybody else. Listen, you guys, really excited tonight. I got a great guest on the show. I tell you what, an incredibly talented chef. It's got two restaurants here in Connecticut, Cookin' the Bear and, of course, Millwrights in Simsbury. Not only that, this gentleman is a four-time James Beard Award nominee. He's also on Top Chef. We're not going to give anything away, but he's on Top Chef. And, of course, more importantly, honestly, probably one of the sweetest, nicest, just genuine chefs I've met in this business since I've been doing this, man, and talking to people. Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Chef Tyler Anderson. Chef, what's going on this evening?
Oh, you're too kind, Plum. I'm blushing now.
That's the plan. Dude, I appreciate you taking some time tonight, man.
Yeah, of course. It's my pleasure.
I had a really abrupt ending there to my buttery beats. I don't know what happened. I tried to fade it out and it just turned off. That's not a good sign.
I hate it when that happens.
Right on. Well, dude, listen, Happy New Year to you, of course. And I know you were telling me that the restaurant's closed tonight, man. But
yeah,
you've got a lot going on in your life right now, huh?
Yeah, it's a little wild, you know, but, you know, try to stay on top of things and keep moving. Make hay while the sun shines, they say.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Of course, strike while the iron is hot. Dude, I want to jump right into these restaurants a little bit first, just to give some background on yourself,
sure.
Man.
And yeah.
And I know that it's funny, man. I think we're close to the same age. You know, I turned 40 in March. I think that our generation of cooks, if I'm completely off base, just tell me. I think we come from an older generation of cooks. I mean, you know, I didn't ask to be in this business. It just kind of happened. And it's what I could do at the time, and the in between, you know, putting on eye makeup and going to punk rock shows in Richmond, Virginia, I worked in restaurants, and that was kind of my story for a long time. I'm guessing, I know you're an old punk rock kid. Same thing for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. When I was coming up, when we were coming up, it wasn't there weren't the opportunities that there are today, to say the very least. You know, I worked most of the lines I worked with. You know, I was the only non-convicted felon. Yeah, that was working the line. It's not the same anymore.
No, it's definitely not, man. And you're right. I remember that. I had a guy that was very inspiring to me. He had just done a stint in a jail or penitentiary or whatever you call it in Virginia. And we worked the line at this restaurant together. And his name was Doc, and he had two gold teeth. And, Chef, he told me the best piece of advice I ever got in my life. And I'm going to tell it to you.
Mm-hmm.
He said,
"What's
Plum,
that?
They can't all be good."
That's great. That's great.
But you're right, man. Like,
yeah, we have like all that. We all have like that kind of person who shaped us, you know, in this career. And, you know, they shaped us, different people have shaped us in different ways. But I have, you know, the felon grill cook named Humberto, who I like, you know, I was 17 working in this kitchen called The Hungry Hunter, this restaurant called The Hungry Hunter. And this dude like was the grill cook, and I was just in awe because he worked the grill all night long just with bare hands. You know, like
nice.
Just the dude was a monster. And you know, to be like Humberto one day is still my goal.
To be Humberto. Dude, that should be a shirt for you. You should make out a shirt for like Cooking the Bear or something. Just be Humberto.
Be Humberto. Don't be. Can I say bad words on this show or no?
Fuck yeah. Say whatever you want.
Okay. Yeah, don't be a pussy. Be like Humberto, you know?
That's great, dude. I love that. That should be a hashtag or something. I don't know. What a great story, man. But so did you know, though, for you, was it always something that you were like, you know what, this is a career I want to be in? Or was it, you know, at first, is it, yeah, you know, it pays the rent, you know, meeting cool people, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, at first, exactly. You know, waitresses, cute waitresses, and then it was cute pastry girls. And then, you know, you don't have to set an alarm to get up for work, you know. It just kind of like, I just did it. And then one day, like my turning point in life was into 1999, I had dinner at the French Laundry and Thomas Keller was in the kitchen and I ate that meal and I had the dish oysters and pearls and I had that dish and I realized what could be done through food. And from that point on, I decided to take it extremely seriously.
Now, did you go to school or anything, or were you just kind of working in restaurants, kind of taught that way?
I went to school, but like while I was in school, I was actually working at Charlie Trotter's. So it was like, you know, what I was doing at work was far more of a learning experience than what I was doing in school. So I still have to do, just have to do my internship and then I graduate. So if anybody's looking for a real good intern, I'm looking for an internship to finish out my culinary school.
That's great. you know, man, I think culinary school is a bad name. I do. I think that it's getting a bad name now because these kids who graduate, they want to call themselves, call themselves chef immediately when they graduate school. But I think you get out of it what you put into it. I mean, if you go in there with the right mindset, you can learn a lot. You know, when I went to school, I went to CIA. When I went, it was desperately needed. I needed that direction. I needed that, you know, that. I don't know. Like I just needed some direction in my life. And it made a giant difference to me. I had hair down to my waist and they made me cut it. Like it was crazy. I couldn't believe it. And
That's all. I mean, the CIA is awesome for stuff like that. And you know, it's like different strokes for different folks. I'm not completely anti-culinary school by any stretch, but you know, I've just seen so many kids get ripped off. Not so much at like the Johnson and Wales and the CIAs of the world, but some other schools, which, you know, some of them are out of business now, but it just sucks to see like a kid who wants to grow up to be a cook graduate with $75,000 in debt and I got to hire him for $11 an hour. You know, that's real shitty math. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a tough part. And I think it's a harsh reality for a lot of these kids too, man, when they come out of school and you know, you tell them, listen, I can hire you and I can pay you $15 an hour or whatever, or $12 an hour. And, you know, and you're going to work your ass off and it's not really going to be fun. And, you know, you come from a culinary school where you were the top of the food chain and you're going to come back here and guess what? You're going to work pantry and shut the fuck up, come to work, you know?
It can be I definitely encourage people if they are going to go to school. Like I said, I'm not anti-culinary school completely, but if you're going to go to school, work in restaurants first and then go to school. Because I think that a lot of people can just learn enough in the restaurants, but you're right. Culinary school teaches you this level of discipline, especially a school like as good as the CIA. So if you're going to go to a good one.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. No doubt about it. Do you find a lot of guys that are coming to work for you at the restaurants? Do they have degrees? Have they been to culinary schools? Or are they just kind of, you know, I'm not trying to gauge anybody one against the other, just kind of curious as to how these guys are coming into the world now.
Honestly, like I've been about half and half.
Yeah.
I get a lot. I'm half and half, I guess, you know, that's kind of the end of the story. We get a decent amount who have worked in good restaurants before and know what the fuck they're doing. And then we get, like right now we have a couple kids from the CIA who are pretty green, but I kind of like them like that. And, you know, they're hustlers and they get it. So, you know, it's all, like you said, it's all about what you put into it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good to hear, actually. It's funny how we have some people on here who just, they're just not big fans of school and stuff. And I get that, you know, and just the way it goes, I guess. Dude, your restaurants. I have not had the opportunity to eat at Millwright's yet. I'm hoping to change that this year. It's on my list. I wrote down 10 things. That's on my list this year.
Nice. Well, we've only been open almost 6 years now, so I, you know, still worries. Still pretty
but there's quite a difference in the two. Cook and the Bear, you know, cool barbecue flair, you know, barbecue with like a nice chef flair, just amazing food, nice Tom Selleck thing going on there. We'll talk about that, I'm sure. But then Millwright's is, you know, that it's very like hot cuisine, just nice, fun, good food. You know, and one of your comments you made in Top Chef, which I just love, and it's kind of become like the mantra, you know, when people say farm to table, you're like, all fucking food comes from a farm. I love that, dude.
Right. Yeah.
How would you describe the two restaurants, the difference in the two?
I mean, you just did a pretty good job of it. But so kind of my whole life, I've been doing quote unquote fine dining cuisine, working in more upscale restaurants, and Millwright's, you know, as my baby and my first restaurant, is certainly fits that bill. But, yeah. You know, the words farm to table are great as a description for some restaurants. And I think we are actually, but it's like, it just gets bastardized. All food comes from a farm. All food is eaten on a table for the most part. So it's like a stupid term. We like to work really hand in hand with farmers, like as far as how, you know, we crop plan for the next year. You know, we're at the farms, we're picking the stuff out of the ground. We're doing a lot of that. And we really only cook seasonally. And we really primarily only use products that you could have purchased in New England in the early 1900s. So you won't see like blatant use of pineapple or mango or, you know, avocado on our menu. We do use things like lemons, limes, you know, a little soy sauce here and there, stuff like that. But we try to stay pretty true to like New England roots because the building was built in 1680 and we kind of want to like stay with that. And then downstairs we have a tavern. Which is cool. You know, it's a little more casual. You get like a burger down there, roast chicken, whatever. But Cook and the Bear, the opportunity came up to like partner with Jamie McDonald, who is a great barbecue guy. I've wanted to do barbecue for a long time. I really wanted to do a casual restaurant just kind of to see what it was like.
right.
And so here we are.
Man, that's just it's a great mix, and you're killing. I mean, Cook and the Bear, the food's just great. I mean, we did an episode of Road Trip there, and it's just it's the food's awesome. I couldn't
really fun.
I can't think of another way to say it. Yeah, and it seems like it's a lot of fun.
It's stoner food, you know, like it's fun to cook. It's fun to eat. Like you know, even if you're not somebody who imbibes, it's still like it's rich, it's satisfying, it's fatty and acidic, and you know, we just try to hit those big flavor profiles. Have fun with smoking things, you know, and that's what it is.
Now, do you find yourself spending more time at one than the other right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely more involved in Millwright's. Like, Millwright's is my baby. It always will be. And, you know, like, Millwright's is an ever-changing menu. It needs my hands a little more, I guess. I just like to be there a little more. I love being at Cook and the Bear too, but like I have Ed Jones over there who's the chef and he's like running things over there. Like, and those guys do a great job. And that's like my Millwright's guys like throw down too, but it's Millwright's is more where I want to be more often. Like I love cooking over at Cook and the Bear. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I'm talking about two different women right now and I don't want to like say the wrong thing.
You're very PC. You really are. You're doing a really good job, dude.
Like it's a like conversation with a Mormon dude, you know, like like Cook and the Bear is my Tuesday night girl and Millwright's is my Monday, you know,
nice.
Whatever. But more at Millwright's,
nice.
More at Millwright's.
Nice, man. Well, I mean, what's the plan here? Are we thinking a third restaurant here in the next, in the future or?
We have something that's brewing. It's wild. Like, you know, honestly, the landscape of restaurants these days, like is not like a wonderful one. I think we have a little oversaturation and tons of new restaurants have been opening. And, you know, my thought isn't to like push to open a new restaurant right away, especially because, you know, I took 5 years between Millwright's and opening the Cook and the Bear, and the Cook and the Bear is only what, like 7 months old now or something. But I'm an idiot. You know, and there's an idea in my head that may be coming around soon.
Well, creative people, man, and that's what we do. You want to keep creating, and sometimes the Monday night girl and the Tuesday night girl are great, but you want a Friday night girl. my wife doesn't hear that.
And by girls, we mean restaurants. Yeah.
Right. Right. It's not a literal thing, or maybe it is. But, you know, it's funny, though, because when you look at the stuff you've done, and I know the things that I've done, you know, in the TV world, the Food Network world, things like that. It affected my business personally tremendously. Has and for those of you who don't know, I don't know how you did unless you're living under a rock. Of course, Chef is on Top Chef right now, and I'll let you talk about what that is. I'm not going to say anything. But have you seen how that's affected the restaurants at all? Have you seen like an uptick in business?
Yeah, I mean, like even from when I was back on Chopped in like 2009, I think I was back in Chopped on Chopped. Like the TV stuff really does help. And, you know, we, like as chefs, we just decide to go different ways. There's so many ways we can go within this business. And I think, you know, TV can be kind of lame, but also TV is good to like push us forward and really help to me. And, you know, I think to you as well, like to really get us to a point where we're able to be somewhat successful doing whatever segment of this business is that we love to do. And
yeah, for sure.
So, you know, I think it's been really like, it's every TV appearance is really great, but like, I've never seen anything like what this Top Chef shit has done.
Dude, great. It's amazing, man. I've never done a show of that caliber. And, I mean, to me, Top Chef has always kind of been, you know, it's like you have these Food Network shows, but then Top Chef is really the chef's show. Like it's a chef show, you know, it's just, the level of competitors there, level of food there. Am I wrong in thinking that?
No, I mean, that's why I was like, you know, I don't know if I jumped at the opportunity, but I certainly stood up quickly at the opportunity when they contacted me, because it's like a legendary show, you know, I mean, like having Tom Colicchio as the judge is just like sets the tone. And he's like a producer. Tom is a badass motherfucker. You know, like he is a cook's cook. And a really good dude, and the opportunity, you know, whatever he's going to do is going to have like a lot of soul involved, and it's going to be like as straightforward as it can be.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And, you know, I got to give it to you, man. You're definitely pretty funny on there from the stuff I've watched so far. And, but it's interesting. We'll come back to that in a minute too, but it's just funny. I think it's funny to see how, not funny. It's a good thing, man. That's part of the world. I think of the food world. You know, the TV part, I think it's good for what we do. I think it plays a role there. You know, not everybody's going to host their own TV show after they've been on Cutthroat Kitchen. And a lot of people have that misconception, you know, but if you play your cards right, you can use it, you know?
Yep. You're right. Just, you know, the idea is know how to use it, like know how you're going to use it when you go on to it. And like, honestly, when I went on Chopped the first time I was on TV, I had no idea how to use it, but you know, it's fun doing TV. I'm not saying like it's a total drag. I like actually enjoy myself, but you know, honestly, I like standing in the kitchen at Millwright's and like working in the kitchen at Millwright's. That's what I really love to do. And cooking the bear on Mondays.
For sure, man. And it's obvious too. And you can tell in your work, I mean, simply because, I mean, not just me saying it or even seeing the food or just, I mean, the fact you've been nominated 4 times by the, you know, the James Beard Foundation for the best chef in the Northeast. Like, how amazing is that? Like, that's just something I would just have that tattooed on my dick, I think, everywhere I went.
I work for a lot of great chefs who won James Beard Awards or whatever. So, you know, since I was a kid, it's been like my dream goal to win that award. And that, you know, to be nominated 4 times is awesome. Very cool.
It's amazing. I mean, it just goes to show the level of what you've done and, you know, kind of just the standard, I guess. I mean, it just shows that I think, you know, those things really show standards and for that, it's for what you've done for 4 times, dude. I can't imagine. I want to say you must be a beast in the kitchen, but you're like the sweetest guy I've ever met when it comes to working in kitchens, man. You're the nicest dude ever. Is that the same mentality?
Yeah. I mean, you know, like when I was, I guess I've been running kitchens now for like the chef, quote unquote, for like 9 years. And it's certainly been a progression. I was a little bit more of a monster when I started doing it. And, you know, I've realized what the true importance of a team is and, you know, the ability to foster growth instead of like creating havoc and insanity. And quite honestly, I want to work in a chill kitchen. I want to work in a kitchen where I want people to want to come to work, you know, like, when I was coming up, like there were a couple places I worked at where like I would throw up before I went to work because I was so nervous about going to work. And I don't get nervous about shit. And I don't want that. I want people to want to be at work just because I think you cook better that way. And I want to be around people who want to be there. So, you know, thankfully that's what we have now. We have an awesome staff at both restaurants, and I get to be around people who I think generally want to be there, which is cool.
That's a, I mean, it's a great way to look at it. I think it's the way it should be, but there is a lot of, you know, there's a lot of that in the business that's kind of the opposite of that, which is, you know, and, but I think we're seeing that change with people like you doing your thing with your restaurants, and you're kind of seeing a change in that where it sounds like maybe you take care of your people, you don't work them to death, and, you know, kind of foster that growing right. mentality with them.
Yeah, I mean, you know the hours we worked like back in the day, but, you know, I had some, there were some lifestyle changes for me that came a few years ago. And, you know, I realized there is a life outside of the kitchen. And if I'm going to do that, if I'm going to, you know, take that time, like I'm going to work more than my people, but, you know, so I don't ask of them more than, you know, what I'm doing. So we do try to keep, you know, a life outside the kitchen. Like they get 2 days off every week. They get 2 days off in a row. The managers, you know, my sous chefs don't work 90 hours a week. We work, it's within reason, you know?
Yeah.
But it's about having good people who can be productive during that time.
Well, that's the key thing. I mean, a lot of times I think if you're working those crazy hours, it's because something's not right. You know, I remember running a hotel for a long time and that was a scenario. It's just, you couldn't keep people, or people are stealing, or there's always a fucking complaint. Something's wrong. It's because you got people who can't do the job or don't care to do the job.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and you know, a lot of times chefs, cooks will get burnt out because they have to work all these hours. You know, but you're exactly right. Like manage yourself, manage your time, and really the only thing that can affect you then is if your owner's being a cheap fuck. But, you know, thankfully, I'm the owner of my restaurant, so I'm not a cheap fuck. So I'm going to give them the manpower they need to get the job done.
No doubt about it. Well, dude, tell the story a little bit about Top Chef, man. How did that all come to fruition, and how did that happen? And then, you know, just, I mean, they contacted you. So how'd that go?
Yeah, they contacted me. So a couple years ago, they got a new like casting agent. And so, you know, they do a mixture of, they do these auditions and call, you know, whatever, like these big auditions in cities and stuff. And then they also reach out to a lot of people. I think it was a combination of like the James Beard nominations. And then, you know, the casting director like checked out my Instagram, checked out like different shit that was going on at the restaurant and asked me if I'd be interested. And I, like, my first reaction was kind of like, no, because, you know, it's a commitment to leave for that amount of time.
Sure.
And
you own two restaurants. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. At the time I only had Millwrights, but the Cook and the Bear was being, you know, was under construction. So it's like, you know, I can't do it, but they lowered the restrictions a little bit for the amount of time that it took to be away because they wanted to have like more kind of chef owner people be able to come do it. You know, more people who had already established themselves a little bit. And you know, so I was like, all right, I'll consider it. Then there was this whole huge process, like interview process, psych evaluations, which I can't believe I passed, and, you know, a bunch of like tons of other shit. And then you get on the show.
Damn. That's funny how that works, right?
Yeah. Wild.
I mean, same scenario. The first show I did was The Taste, and they contacted me directly, and I have no idea why, but they did. And I went into my interview and I cut a promo like Dusty Rhodes from 1989 on this girl's shoes. I didn't even talk about food. All I did.
That's awesome.
But you get there, man. And it's funny because you and I have been social media friends and whatnot. And we have never met in person until a few months ago. And I'm so glad we finally did. But I was talking in the opening of the show how this chef community that we have now, it's actually pretty small when you think about it. Everyone's kind of connected, that whole 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon sort of scenario. We know a lot of the same people. And on your season, a buddy of mine, been on this program, spent a lot of time with him in New Orleans, the one and only Mr. Brother Luck. Nice. You met him.
Yeah. Brother was on the
character,
show.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, he's a great dude. I didn't know he was on the show. That's cool. Like, you know, I'm like everybody else though. Like have you seen the first episode of Top Chef? It's like we all sat down for this picnic, and you know, yeah. I see this big dude, and I like hear, you know, people calling him brother, like all this like other stuff. I'm like, man, that's like a, you know, that's pretty familiar. Like you guys are already getting along really well. Yeah,
right.
And you brother, like okay, like you know. But then come to find out, the guy's got a pretty interesting name. And you know, more than that, the dude's a, he's like the real deal. Dude's a good,
he's a great
quality
dude.
Individual.
Yeah, dude, an amazing cook too, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, dude, and he's got, you know, he's got his own style. He does his own thing, and he, you know, honestly, I never got to taste his food, but the shit looks beautiful.
Wow, and, even at that know, little sit down thing,
people said good things. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Brother Luck does a good job, man. I did an event in New Orleans. It's an event we do every year. I did competed in 1 year that I judged this past year called the Farm to Table Chef Challenge. It's a, you know, whatever it's the name, whoever it's all about supporting, yeah. You know, local farms in New Orleans, and it's very cool in Louisiana. Anyway, I met Brother Luck there, at this event. He came down sous chefing for a gentleman named Mark Henry, Chef Mark Henry, great fucking guy. I watched this guy come in at 6 a.m. chef. He came into the kitchen at 6 a.m. dude. He had a 300-pound pig around his shoulders, headphones on, blasting Wu-Tang, and I've never seen a man take a pig apart so fast in my life. It was unbelievable. I was like in awe just watching the cat working right across from me going, wow. And as he's doing that, Brother Luck is doing this other prep, getting ready for this amazing dish that they made. And, you know, we hit it off. We went to lunch, and we all hung out that night. And, you know, I think I mentioned to you, Leanne Wong, another Top Chef alumni from a million episodes and producer, yeah. As a matter of fact, on a couple seasons, who you met on your...
Yeah, she was culinary producer, yeah.
Yeah, on one of your challenges, we hung out with her that night and ended up at this weird gay bar with Brother Luck's mom. And I don't really know what happened or how we got there. At one point, I actually said, how the fuck did we get here? What is happening? And it was a fun night, I think.
Those are the best nights.
But on Top Chef, did they give you guys, did they take away your phones, no contact with the family, all that typical stuff, or did they give you a little freedom?
Yeah, there's no freedom. They take your shit away. Like, they first of all, like when, like before you even get on the show, you go to this like hotel, you go to this like staging area hotel, and like they take your phone, they take your computer, they take like all your shit, they look through all your stuff, they take all your recipes. Like, you know, in order to get anything in, you'd like have to keister it, you know, like
nice, you're fucking court rat hole that shit.
But like, you know, I wasn't going to be without my phone for too long. So as soon as I got close enough to like an AT&T store and they didn't see where I was like, I just ran out and got a burner.
Nice.
You know, if anybody from Top Chef is listening, like, you know, I'm sorry, but I had to get a phone. So I just had one. I had one tucked away.
You rat hole.
But
I don't want to know how you fit that up.
Yeah. Yeah. I got it in. It was.
Wow.
Yeah, I worked it out.
Wow, and did your housemates know you had that or no?
Some of them did. Yeah, I mean, it was like that's definitely contraband. It's like not
for sure.
And you're like they don't like that at all. I wasn't doing anything fucked up. Like, you know, I'm not gonna give away results of the show. I'm not gonna like do any shit like that. But you know, dude's got to have some communication abilities. But in a way, you know, when they took the phone and everything, they took the computer. Like when I found out that was gonna have to happen. Like, you know, now we have 80 employees. We have 3 sets of partners. We have 3 different food service operations because I got that thing at the airport, too. It was kind of like a sweet relief, like having all that shit go away. You know, it's like, wow, this is what it's like. You know,
in the back of your head.
Yeah.
But in the back of your head, you had to be like, fuck, what's happening in the real world, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, I was cool for 2 weeks. And then, like I said, after 2 weeks, I'd had enough of that, and I figured out a way to get a phone. But like for those 2 weeks, it was kind of nice to just like be in la la land.
That's awesome. Let me ask you this, man. It's funny because I've had a lot of conversations with people who have done shows and things, and one of the biggest, I don't know, the drawbacks I think that people don't tell you about or understand or know about is when you get off the show. There's definitely a readjustment period to getting back into the real world. Did you have any of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. It was really weird.
Yeah, like, right. And no one tells you,
know,
you about
the shit. You go from like a place where they were. You're told, kind of like told what every, like I said, I equated it to like a nice, really nice prison, you know, like one that like, you know, like a drug lord.
Back to rattling things.
Yeah. And then like, it's like the nicest prison ever because like people tell you what to do every second. And it's like, you know, that shit gets really old, like, especially on reality TV, it's like fucking shit. Like there's this term called hard ice where, they'd be like hard ice and you like couldn't talk, you know, you like couldn't say a word because they didn't want you to like discuss things about the show that they want to get on tape. So they'd like keep you quiet until they got the cameras there. And then it's like fucking hard ice. It's like my nightmare, you know, like I want to like talk shit and like fucking do something, do some jackassery. And I got to like sit there with my mouth closed. That was like a nightmare. But then, you know, at the same time, they treat you super well. Like, you know, every day we'd wake up and we'd like make a list of things like we wanted them to grocery shop for us for. And they had those, all those things would be in the refrigerator when we got home. And like, you know, so you're a prisoner, but you're treated like a king at the same time. So when you get back from the real world to the real world, you have to like readjust to freedom and then having to do your own shit for yourself. Like, you know, my fiance was like, I was like writing down a list in the morning. I'm like, babe, can you get me this? She's like, you better go to the store yourself, motherfucker. You know, like,
nah. That's funny, man. Did they let you guys drink in the house or no?
Yeah, they encourage it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It encourages the social interactions, I guess, a little bit. Yeah, I was always
social interactions. So we didn't see any naked Chef Tyler running around in his thong underwear or anything like that. But anything fun happened that they didn't show or that happened in the house? You're like, holy fuck, really, dude? Any sort of those scenarios happen?
Yeah, I mean, it was just like honestly, I didn't want to do anything too over the top because I didn't want to embarrass my mom. I don't want like my mom to be embarrassed of any shit I did. Like I was enough of a jackass, but I just like walked that line, you know, where I'm like, okay, you know, sometimes you have to remember that you're on camera and you're gonna see like everything you're doing. But you know, like I did a lot of, we had fun. It's 15 chefs that are hanging out together, like kind of like away from
the real world.
Like we're going to figure out a way to have fun.
For sure. And the funny part is, man, when you get 15 chefs together, and you know, one of the examples I use when I did the taste, it was 60 chefs. And
Jesus.
It's that week. Oh, it's fucking a nightmare, dude. In a hotel, they couldn't keep any of us. I'll tell you stories later. I ran a branded car and went and bought a whole bunch of Pabst Blue Ribbon. It was insane. Anyway. but when you get a bunch of chefs together, it's that weird, like, 5-minute moment where everybody's kind of feeling each other out, where, like, you're not sure kind of who's going to fall into what role, who's going to be where. But then once you get past that, it's like the coolest group of people to be with ever.
Yeah, you just jive. You fall into place where you jive. You know very quickly if it's going to work, you know, if it's going to work. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, exactly. You know exactly who the people are that you're like, okay, that guy's cool. That guy's cool. And, you know, oh, that person, maybe they're cool, but it's not, you know, we're probably not going to be hanging out or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I actually, when I met Brother Luck, I was like, there's no way I'm going to be friends with this cat. And I was completely wrong. Dude's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I said the same thing about him when I first got on the, no, I'm just kidding. Like, honestly, we hit it off pretty well from the start. Like everybody, like I'm a really easy guy to get along with, but I was expecting but I know how some chefs can be. And like, if there's some douchebags in our business, like some fucking douchebags. And like everybody there was pretty legit, man. They were like cool people, like from being from such a diverse backgrounds and like different places in the world and like all this shit, like people were pretty great. Like, and I'm not just saying that to be a cheese ball and like be getting along with everybody. Cause you know, I would drop the hammer if somebody was a prick, I wouldn't give a shit, but they were all pretty good, man.
Man, I guess Cassie people do a good job of that stuff, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. But you know, sometimes they also want to get, I'm sure they want like that dark horse on there. Like, you know, I met Marcel Marcel from Top Chef. Like we met him at in the Last Chance Kitchen thing. that guy's a fucking right. dick. You know, like, if he was on my show, you know, like, there would have been sparks flying. And I think sometimes like, they like that. You know, maybe not fisticuffs, but, like, but everything short of that. You know, like, I would have, like,
yeah.
I would have done everything in my power to affect him mentally.
I mean, of course they want that, dude. Look, dude, I was on Cutthroat Kitchen, and they pulled me aside, and I'm going to be a little wrestler speak here, asked me if I'd be the heel, because the people weren't talking enough. They asked me if I would help fire people up. And
nice.
Of course they do. Yeah. I mean, that's just what you do. And so, you know, that's they want the drama. They want the, you know, people kind of getting mad at each other. That makes good TV. People want to see that. People want right. You yeah. can't have good guys without villains.
True. Very true.
That's just the way it goes. Now, dude, you know, listen, so we can talk about where we are in Top Chef or we can't, whatever you want to do. I'm
whatever
pretty much
want.
Caught up. But all right. Well, one of my favorite things to watch actually is The Last Chance Kitchen. And you were just on. You know, you look at a show like that and you think of, you know, it's going to be wacky, but yours, they said, they were talking about getting out of your head and that sort of stuff. And right. so what do they do? Of course, they bring out all these animal heads. I got to imagine, you know, we've all done things with animal heads in our lives, but I don't think we've ever done it by like, hey, here's a great idea. Let's do this and do it on a regular basis. I mean, what were you, I mean, is that what you, where you were at when you saw that? Or you're like, oh yeah, no worries. I got this.
Yeah, I mean, like, so, you know, getting kicked off the show, like, and, like, we had to do, I had to do Last Chance Kitchen, like, literally hours after I got kicked off. It's just how it worked out.
Are you serious?
So, like, I had no, you know, I didn't get to, like, clear my head or anything. And, like, honestly, the show did fuck with my head because, like, I was just over, you know, kind of being on reality TV and, like, doing all this shit. And, you know, I was kind of being a little bitch about it. And, like, so in the episode that I got kicked off on, we had to, like, make this, reinterpret, like, a kid's dish. It was, like, the quick fire. And mine was spaghetti and meatballs. And, like, I made, like, my version of it, like, reinterpreted. And anyway, I thought that dish was fucking delicious. And I thought it was, like, I did a really good job there. Like, I'll admit if I fucked something up. But, you know, I finished on the bottom there because it wasn't, like, enough, like, spaghetti and meatballs. And honestly, like, if I'm going on Cutthroat Kitchen, like, put me on Cutthroat Kitchen. But if I'm going on Top Chef Junior, put me on Top Chef Junior. But I was on Top Chef to fucking, you know, not have judges who are 12 years old judging my food. You know what I mean? Like, and not cooking in, like, little piddly-ass fucking pan bullshit. So anyway, like, that pissed me off and, like, got in my head. And then, like, you know, Heritage, I said it on the show. Heritage, like, for me, like, dude, I'm a white boy from Southern California. Like, what the fuck do you want from me? You know, like, I'm not going deep into the Heritage. And so, yeah, I totally overthought it, and I fucked it up. Like, that was not a good dish. Like, every component tasted good, but, like, they were absolutely right. Like, it did not work together. So, you know, and then I roll in there, and then, of course, Tom's like, you know, we're going to do this get in your head challenge. And so, you know, there's certain things up there that are, like, easy to cook, and then there's certain things up there that are not easy to cook. And so,
like the halibut cheeks. Like,
cook,
how fucking easy
is
halibut
cheeks? Yeah, dude, how easy is that? Cod cheeks. I think it was cod cheeks, halibut cheeks, and then beef tongue or pork tongue. And I'll certainly take any of those, like, over the head. But, you know, like, I didn't get there fast enough. And quite honestly, like, I love cooking pig's heads. So I was like, fuck it, I'll just cook the pig's head, you know. So like I got it cooked. I haven't seen the episode honestly, so I don't know like what how it came.
Bro, you come across great. You come across great. You really should watch it. You come across great. Seriously.
Cool. That's good to hear. But you know, I mean, trying to get the pig's head and make a dish in 35 minutes or whatever the fuck, that's tough stuff.
Yeah, you grabbed it, and I was like, oh, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
That was the only thing left, dude. That was everybody there was faster than me because they've been banging out these fucking Last Chance Kitchens, dude. Like, they've been, you know, they've, like, Claudette's, like, whatever. They've done four or something at this time. So they're, like, all, like, Last Chance Kitchen pumped up. Like, they know what's up. And my sleepy ass, like, fucking just got kicked off the show. I was all, like, butthurt, whatever, and then I got to go.
Of course.
Like, took a pig's head, so they were faster on the jump than me and got the good shit.
It's funny how that works, man. But like you took it and immediately I'm like, okay, ears, we're going to pressure cook those ears and make tacos or some shit out of the fucking pig ears. And you know, it's just, it's funny when you're in competition. And I don't think you just for all you young chefs out there who are listening in and paying attention here, it's not as easy as you think it is. Like your brain, when you watch it, you're like, oh, I'll do this. When in the moment, when they told Chef, here's a bunch of animal heads, his brain went, oh, fuck, wait, what? And you got to figure out what to do. I mean, am I wrong?
No, exactly. I mean, it's a problem. Like, I don't know. People have asked me how you go about doing it. And it's just like, you have to have an idea, right? Like, so I see a fucking head. I know I got to start cooking the ears and the cheeks as fast as possible.
Yeah.
But it's like, you don't know what the dish is going to be. Like, you don't know what the dish is going to be until like the last 10 or 15 minutes, you know, when you're totally putting it all together. So you're just like creating pieces to it and then you put it together and there it goes. That's how I do it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's just the way it goes. You just got to do the best you can. I mean, that's all you can do. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, you know?
Yep. Yep. Some people are amazing at it. You know, like I did beat Bobby Flay. And for all the people who
wait, did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you do it?
I hate that motherfucker. I do. Okay, I'm sorry, man.
So for all the, you know, all the people who talk shit about Beat Bobby Flay, and, you know, there are a lot of people who talk shit about him for different reasons, but the motherfucker can cook some food in a short amount of time. Like, nobody's done more, like, Iron Chefs than that dude. And so he's and now he does all the Beat Bobby Flay shit. So, like going up against somebody in 40 minutes or whatever, and putting out like a dish like that, you know, like chef's brains think different ways. And like, I'm pretty good at it, but Bobby Flay, like people who think like that are really good at it. And
well, I mean,
you know,
it's,
who's really
it's
good
just
at
like,
it?
Well, bro,
his brother was really good at that. Yeah.
Well, he's been around the block a bit too, you know, I mean, the guy knows the stuff, but here's the thing, man. I think what happens is the chefs, when you start competing, you overthink it. And, you know, I always tell people who have been on this program who before they are doing other shows, and I tell them, stay with what you know. Stay in your zone, man. Don't try to do something you're not familiar with. Stay with what you know.
For sure.
If you're trying to win.
For sure.
You know, I think that's key. Yeah. You know, if you don't make risotto every day, don't go in there and make a fucking
don't
risotto.
Touch it. Yeah. Don't touch it.
You know, because trust me, you're going to fuck it. You're going to fuck it up. It's just no doubt.
Yeah. You're right.
But just go stay in your fucking lane, dude. And if you do what you do really well, do what brought you to the dance. And that's what I've done. And it's done well for me. You know, I mean, I believe in simple food and showcase the food and show what it's about and show, you know, the people work so hard to make this food or grow this food a certain way and give it to you at its peak perfection and showcase it. And that's, you know,
right,
I think that's
sure.
what works, man. I got a couple of regulars here, man. I'm looking at, we have a completely full phone bank, by the way. I want to jump on and maybe try to take two phone calls, if that's cool with you.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's jump on here. Let's see. Of course, we have the one and only Chef Kevin Levine from South Carolina. Chef, good evening. How are you, sir?
I'm excellent. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, brother. Great to hear your voice, man. We got the one and only 4-time James Beard Award nominee and Top Chef contestant, Chef Tyler Anderson, on with us, one of the greatest chefs that I know. How about that? He's a super sweet guy.
Absolutely.
Hi, Chef. How are you?
Very nice. Excellent, excellent. Great show so far. Everything you're saying is, like, spot on.
Cool, man.
Everything.
Excellent, brother. Excellent.
I agree wholeheartedly with you know, the way the management and the owner runs the restaurant, you know, without the team giving them days off and, you know, making them feel important. That's what the camaraderie is about. And what you said, I so agree. You know, to hear somebody like yourself, 4-time James Beard nominee, to say that, you know, there's hope still out there.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, it's like, people are your the people who work with you are the most important asset you have, unless you have a fucking hot dog stand like somewhere and you can just do it all yourself. You know, like, you need people, and the better your people are, the better your restaurant is. So treat them right.
Absolutely.
Hot dogs are delicious.
Now, that
they are delicious.
Said, Hot dogs are good. Sabrettes. You got to have Sabrettes.
True, true. Okay. I like those too.
Anyway,
I like those too.
So that being said, Chef Tyler, I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
With you being on all of these shows and now Top Chef and being a restaurant owner of multiple restaurants, do you feel that Food Network and these shows have influenced the younger generation to limelight what this industry is about?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this industry is, the industry as a whole, like being a cook is just a lot softer a job than it used to be. You know, they're pussies compared to how we used to be, really. And,
yeah.
You know, there are a lot of them out there. There are a lot of them out there who are doing it, you know, just to get famous or whatever. Or you know, they're like this kid, I forgot his name, but this like 12-year-old or 14-year-old who like put the restaurant up in New York City and like, you know, he's charging like tasting menu, Quinn or whatever, Flynn maybe, McGarity. It's like the dude staged at like 11 Madison Park for a month. Like, that shit drives me crazy.
Dude.
Like,
come on.
But,
you know what drives me crazy? Those kids who do like those Chop Chef Juniors or whatever, then they insist on calling themselves chef. You know, pissed off I get about that. We've got one of those here in Connecticut. I'll say that. You don't have to. It pisses me off.
You know what? In this day and age, I would rather somebody call me a good cook than a good chef.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because being a cook is the pillars of what we do. Like, if you're not a good cook, then you can't be a good chef. So, I think TV has made our dining public a lot more aware of what we want to do. And I think ultimately, if you can get past the people who are in it to just be famous or whatever, that there's a good core of like very hardcore American chefs or cooks, you know, who have potential. We just have to lead them the right way and spit out the people who are just in it to be the next Bobby Flay.
Now, do you think social media is like, for myself, we opened our restaurant 9.5 years ago.
Right.
And I'm on the line 6 days a week from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. cooking, actually truly cooking.
Right.
And last night, after 9 New Year's Eves, we broke records after 9 years.
Congratulations.
Social media.
Congrats.
Thank you. Social media, I think, has changed the way chefs interact as well. Through inspiration, through critiquing, through ideas, through, you know, hey, that looks amazing, I want to try that. And I think also it's used for free advertising as well now. Do you advertise your restaurants on social media?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm one of those chefs who thinks, I think social media is like 90% good. So I'm like definitely I'm definitely all for it. I have a social media person who does for the restaurants particularly, but if you look at like my personal stuff, I mean, my life revolves around the restaurants and my kids and family and that's it. So it's like my personal does, I guess, advertise a lot for the restaurants and, you know, that's what it's about. So I believe in it and I like it and I like the communication factor. What the little thing that I don't like is like the copycat bullshit that starts to happen like with social media. And it's funny, like you see, you know, certain chefs put out a post and then all of a sudden, you know, you see every restaurant in this region has that shit on their menu. And, you know, like, yeah, be original and do it yourself and figure it out yourself. Read a cookbook, you know, don't just like flash through like Instagram and like think you have an idea from that. Like, get a background for it. And, you know, ultimately I do love social media. I think it's great. But, you know, the one thing I don't like is the like fluff of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right on. Well, Kevin, brother, thank you, man. Great to hear your voice and happy new year to you.
Yeah.
Nice
thank
you,
guys. Nice there meeting you
go.
Too. Thank you.
All right, there he goes. There he goes right there. All right, Chef, I'm going to come clean and be honest with you. Something I meant to tell you the last time I saw you, but I forgot to tell you. And you just said that,
yeah,
and it made me think of it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I totally corned beefed your fried corn silk. I did that on a dish this summer for my client in the Hamptons, and I had to do it because it was fucking amazing.
Dude, I ripped it off from somebody else, too. It's like not – like, you know, that's – it's – what it all is, dude. It's about, a lot of it is putting components of things that you've seen together with things you're familiar with.
Yeah.
You know, but like when you just jack a dish completely, like 100%, like jack a dish. Like there's one dish on Millwright's menu that is always on Millwright's menu, and it's this tapioca custard thing, and it's 100%. Like I'm honest with this. 100% influenced by Oysters and Pearls from Thomas Keller, which is the dish that, you know, like I said earlier, it's the dish that made me know that I wanted to be a cook. And this is like my homage to him with flavors from New England. So it fits my restaurant perfectly. It's always on the menu, you know, it's always there. But like, I went to a place and like, I saw it on the menu. Like it was
right.
on the menu.
Wow.
It was the same fucking thing. Like, dude, like that's
dude.
That's too much, you know, like,
yeah.
Like take, you know, and the irony of it is that I totally jacked a dish from Thomas Keller, but like I reinterpreted it my own way a little bit. Like this dude
right.
didn't even like, it was like straight up the same
wow.
dish. And it was like, wow. You know, like
I just stole your garnish, man. That's all it was. I just stole your garnish.
Yeah, big deal, dude. That's nothing. Yeah.
And by the way, my client thought it was awesome. They were like, "It tastes like popcorn." I'm like, "Yeah, it does. It's fucking crazy."
Yeah, it looks like. But some people are like, "It looks like pubic hair." It looks like pubic.
That's what my wife said. And my answer was, "Well, it's 2017. This shit's making a comeback. I mean, let's not hate on it." let's see, we got time for one more, man. I appreciate your time. Do you got time for one more phone
yeah.
call? I apologize
yeah, sure.
for being on so late, but this shit goes so fast
yeah,
and
no
it's
problem.
Just a fun conversation, man. I don't know. All right, let's see what we got here. All right, let's see. We got my man Dave from the Motor City of Detroit. Chef Dave, what's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How you guys doing?
I'm good brother. I'm good.
All good.
We got one and only Mr. Chef Tyler Anderson here hanging out with us this evening, brother.
Good to meet you, Chef.
You as well.
You got a question for him, brother?
Yeah, actually I do. What was it like, what were you doing when you noticed or you realized that you were being noticed for your food? And what did you do for James Beard to actually notice?
That's a great question. The James Beard thing is like the toughest shit because like you don't really know how it happens. You just like I asked so many people for so long about, and you know what? I've like only been nominated for semifinalists. Like I haven't even made the finalist list. So now I'm in the same boat. I am asking people who have won the same questions. I'm like, dude, what do I have to do to like get to the next level? And like the entire way through, the only piece of advice that people ever have given me is just keep cooking your own food. Like just keep cooking
yeah.
your own food. Keep cooking hard. Keep like making sure every dish is fucking good. And like, that's really all I got, you know, like just that's like the only thing. It's like tricky, dude. There's no, I don't know how it happened, honestly.
Now, have you done a Beard House dinner? Have you done that yet, Chef?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, like, I've cooked at the Beard House, like, 15 times, probably, like, between
nice.
Myself or cooking for other chefs or with other chefs or whatever. And, like, cooking at the house is, I would definitely recommend it. I mean, it's a huge, it's a wonderful, awesome thing to do. And it also keeps, you know, the more you can associate your name with the James Beard Foundation, I feel like, you know, the better off for you. So I like to do one, you know, it's easy for me living in Connecticut. Like I literally like drive, like we're doing one January 22nd. It's the Goldilocks and the Three Bears. So it's like the Three Bears from Top Chef with Kristen, my pastry chef,
nice,
who has blonde hair. We're doing a
Who's killing it, by the way.
Three Bears dinner. Yeah, she's awesome.
If you need a pot washer, let me know.
For sure. I would say do a dinner at the house if you can. You know, it sucks when you have to fly everything in and stay there overnight. Like the expenses are high, but you know, if they're not coming to your restaurant to taste the food, take your food to them.
Yeah, but what about a guy? Like that's a good question though. Just a good you know kind of segue there. And Dave, I want to keep you on here just for a second with this. Like you look at someone like Dave, lives in Detroit, you know, Detroit has their own kind of food scene thing going on, but to get noticed
sure, sure.
by someone like the Beard House, you know, I mean, Beardhouse is New York City. Like that's, you know, it's tough to get noticed. I mean, what do you think? Is it social media? Does that play a part in it? Is it just emailing them and making them notice you? What do you think works best?
I mean, I would rather be in Detroit having James Beard look at me than be in Simsbury fucking Connecticut.
But I mean, to get them to pay attention to you so far away, you know?
I think social media definitely helps. Like, I don't know. I think just like do your shit. And Detroit has this like up and coming. Like, I love Detroit, dude. Like, I want to put a cooking bear in Detroit. I love that city. And you talk about a city that's like on the rise and like, you know, really having a real good cocktail and food thing happening. And, you know, how much of the James Beard House love to like, you know, the James Beard House, they promote like, they're not going after, you know, they promote chef owners. They promote like people doing things from the ground up. And like, that's the story of Detroit as a whole. So I think that all the entrepreneurship that's happening there is just going to drive more culinary attention there. I think Detroit's in a good place to get attention.
Dude, Dave, after the way Chef just talked about this, I think I'm moving to Detroit. He's got me all fired up now.
All right, dude, I mean,
you can bunk with me.
I'm going there to look at real estate in like 2 weeks, like just to look around. They're flat 5 hours
really?
A day directly from Hartford to Detroit, and like I can be in Detroit just as easy as I could be in New York or Boston from here. And like, it's like such a business friendly city. Like, and there are people who are into good shit there. It's rad.
Well, look up and Dave, man. He'll take care of you.
All right, for sure.
There you go. Dave, what's the restaurant you work at now, dude? What's the restaurant you're at?
I'm at the Red Dawn Kitchen. We're in Corktown. It's like one of the boroughs of Detroit.
Cool. It sounds like he's speaking Chinese to me. I don't know what any of that means. All right, Dave, my man, I'll talk to you soon, buddy. I appreciate the phone call.
All right, bud. Good to meet you, Chef.
You too, man. Thanks.
All right, there he goes. It's the fun part about this show, man, just the reach and just the chefs talking. And you see how, you know, we kind of fall into it, and all of a sudden now we've been on the phone talking for over an hour about this stuff. It's funny how that happens, isn't it?
It applies when you're having fun, Chef.
Oh, dude, listen, it's awesome. And you know, I think you're bringing up places like Detroit and having, you know, going up there and it's upcoming food scenes. So many cities do have upcoming food scenes. You know, it's funny because the Beard House is an interesting scenario. I was at an event in New Orleans with Eliza. I can't remember her name, dude. You might know it. Red haired lady who does bookings for the Beard House. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Isabella.
That's right. Yeah. And I asked her, and you know, because listen, I work in the profession of bastardized chefs when it comes to the business. I'm a private chef, and I do it because I have three kids and a family. You know, and I'm a few years removed.
You're the smart one, Plum.
Well, maybe I make great money and I make my own hours. Does that make me a bad person? I don't know. But anyway, but I asked her, I said, you know, how come you don't see any like private chefs really being invited to the Beard House? And she says, well, we don't know if they could support it. Because when you go to the Beard House, you just sell all the tickets on your own, right?
No, you know, they sell the tickets for you, but they like to see promotion and they like to see you, you know, like you share it, but you don't have any financial commitment like to purchase tickets or whatever. Like they handle that.
Well, on my, I'm telling you this because if I tell you this, it makes it real in my world. On my list of 2018 things to do, and I do, dude, brother, I'm not even lying. Like I wrote things down. Like I have a list of things I'm trying to accomplish. I'm trying to be the first private chef to cook in the Beard House this year.
Awesome, man. Cool.
Hopefully you'd come.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to be a part.
So, dude, listen, as we start to wind this down, man, and again, I appreciate your time tonight, man. It's been a lot of fun talking to you, and I feel like we could do this for two more hours and just run our mouths about this, about shop. But looking forward, you know, as we move forward here in the new year with, you know, a lot of young cooks who check this program out and listen, what would be the biggest piece of advice you think you would give a young culinarian, someone coming up in the business who's trying to make a name for themselves?
Put your head down and shut up. You know, it's like, it's
that's great advice.
Like there are a few stages to this career, and some of them are not as good as other ones, depending on, you know, who you are. But
yeah,
it's rare these days to just find cooks who just like work hard, like shut up, do what they're told. And the more you do that, the more you will learn, because the more your chef will mentor you and bring you along. So all the talking you could do, all the, like, you know, yip yap and like whatever, like if you just cut the shit and like get down to business, like a chef will take you under their wing and teach you everything they know. And that's when you really start to learn. And that's when you develop your own style. Like, you don't have a style in cooking until you've been cooking for at least 10 years. Like, you don't know shit.
Totally.
So put your head down, shut up, work for the best chefs you can, and work hard. And, you know, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Work hard. That's all you can do, man. That's what it is. I think that's some of the best advice you hear from any great chef that's on this program. They say the same thing that you just said, put your head down and shut up, you know, listen, stop talking, just listen. And yeah, you'd be surprised if you'll pick up, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, like, you know, the chefs, a good chef will respect that and see that. And so it's like, and that person will approach you, and that person will give you all the knowledge that they have to give. And that's, and soak that shit up.
Exactly. I think that's kind of the important thing, is you definitely got to soak it up. And the only way you can soak it up is to keep your mouth closed. That's for damn sure. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time this evening, and of course, hanging out with my man, Chef Tyler Anderson. Of course, you can check him out on Top Chef. And of course, if you haven't done so yet, Last Chance Kitchen, it's on YouTube. You can check it out there. Chef looks phenomenal in it. He does a great job. Looking very Adonis-like in his presentation of his food.
Yeah.
Just look at, I'm a physical mess, dude. Trust me. You're looking way better than I am. And make sure you follow him on Instagram at PotsandPans77, and of course Millwrights. You gotta check that out too on Instagram, and Cooking the Bear, right, on Instagram, is that right?
Yeah, at the Cook and the Bear.
There it is. And of course the Beer Dinner coming up in the Tri-State area. You gotta make sure you check that out. That's happening in January, correct?
Yeah, January 22nd at the Beard House. Yeah, that's when it is.
Yeah. Look at you, man. I just don't even know what to say. That's awesome, man. I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud to know you and call you a friend. I'm also just proud for what you're doing for here, chefs in the Northeast, and more specifically here in Connecticut, dude. You're an inspiration to us all. I appreciate your time, and such a great time talking to you, and I'd love to do it again sometime.
Brad, man, thank you so much for having me on. It's a cool show.
All right, brother. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road, all right?
All right, dude. Good night.
All right, there he goes. Ladies and gentlemen, there he goes, the one and only Chef Tyler Anderson from Top Chef. Make sure you check him out. What a great guy, dude. Seriously, like, one of my favorite chefs in the state. He's just killing it, man. He's just a nice guy. Like, I don't know how else to say. He's just a fucking nice guy. Like, that's what you want, you know? That's a guy that inspires people, you know? And I think chefs in general are very inspiring, and that's exactly what he is. He's inspiring, and we all want inspiring people in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate your time this evening and coming on here and listening to us chat, and look forward to chatting with you next week. Ladies and gentlemen, please remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. I'll see you next week. Peace!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.